What is up, everyone? Welcome to DC Standum, your guided tour of the DC multiverse. I'm your host, Mike Cicchini, the editor-in-chief of DennyGeek.com. And each week, I bring you discussions with writers, artists, actors, and experts covering everything from DC Comics, DC TV shows, to the big screen of the DCEU. In this episode, I am pleased to welcome Megan Fitzmartin, writer of Tim Drake Robin and Dark Crisis Young Justice. Let me tell you, this was one of my favorite interviews that I did at NYCC. Megan really understands what makes Tim Drake tick. And Tim is a character who is very important to me personally. He's just always been my favorite Robin. He always will be. You know, I was pretty much the same age that Tim was when he was introduced in the comics, and watching his journey of actually properly earning the role of Robin and then getting like the coolest Robin costume ever meant a lot to me. So that was really great. And not only that, this Young Justice book is delightful, and it introduces perhaps the best villainous stand-in for all the usual jackasses who complain every single time a character gets changed or when a story doesn't center a straight white male. And as we get into this interview, you'll hear all about it. And I just will henceforth refer to those clowns as Mickeys in dishonor of Young Justice villain Mickey Makes You Spittalick. But here's Megan to tell us why Tim Drake is indeed the best Robin and why she had to give the Young Justice kids a little attitude adjustment.
So we are going to talk about Tim Drake Robin.
Yes. Yay!
Which says right on the cover of the first issue, the world's greatest Robin.
Yes,
and correct. That is the objective truth. What is it that makes Tim the world's greatest Robin? Let's go at this together.
Absolutely. He's the detective. There's already a world's greatest detective, but he's up there. He's coming for it. And I think also on top of that, though, beyond just the detective elements, he's got the most empathy. Like, it is because of his own empathy is what makes him able to be a good detective, be a good partner, be a good leader, essentially.
I never thought about the empathy element, but when you tie that to his origin story, that's really what drew him to Batman. And he also has the best costume.
Yes.
But you're kind of teasing that there might be a new look for Tim coming.
What we wanted to do, me and the whole team have wanted to do, is to ramp up to it. Because as most organic stories go, you want to get the characters there without them like immediately falling into it, because that doesn't connect. There have been numerous iterations of many characters over the course of time that you don't have the time to sit with those things and understand the decisions that are made. And so we've wanted to do that. We wanted to set Tim. We see where he's at now. We see this new location, this new home, all these different pieces that are fitting into his life in a different way to work up to a new time and a new age for good old Tim Drake.
What I like about this book is it also has like a different energy than what we usually get from Bat books, like Bat-related books. And a lot of that comes from Riley Rossmo's art. It's such a different style than you worked with Tim in the other Tim-related books that you've done. Mm-hmm. So what made Riley the right fit as an artist for this title?
So one of the things that I love about Riley's style is just the details and the intricacies. So I grew up reading these beautiful art books. There's one book called The Apartment Book that I am obsessed with to this day. And what it is, it's just a day in the life of this apartment building, and you go through and you see the different stories take place, and you don't really need very much to it. You just see a day throughout this apartment building. And as soon as I saw the marina, I was like, this is exactly it. I didn't even tell him about this book. I told him nothing about it, but he knew that we're on some sort of weird, crazy wavelength, that he knew that this was exactly what I was wanting from it, that it feels lived in, it feels kinetic and energetic and new and exciting, because I think that that is what Tim needs and what we've been wanting for him in this new space is kinetic energy of living on your own sort of for the first time. Like, this is setting off on your own for a bit, and Riley's absolutely fantastic at that.
I loved that Marina intro with all of the different characters and the way that like they were kind of broken out in the panel.
Yeah.
That was so neat.
I geeked out so hard. It's one of my favorite things. That and the boat. As soon as you see the boat, like the cutaway of the boat and seeing into it, I was like, this is delicious. It's delicious art.
You've been the writer tasked with exploring new facets of Tim's life and personality and sexuality and thus his history, right? Mm-hmm. So obviously that's a challenge. But what I found interesting about that is that the way it was introduced in the book wasn't retconning anything. You know what I mean? It was just like we are kind of going on this journey with Tim. But I know that's got to be a really tricky line to walk as a writer. What kind of goes into that? Like, I'm sorry, you're getting the toughest questions of the day because this is a sensitive subject. But like, I'm very curious about this because it would be one thing to just be like, oh, well, like this was, you know, this was always, you know, this was always there. Whereas right. like, well, of course it was always there. But like we are learning it with Tim,
absolutely.
Which I think is a great way to go about it.
So I think the joy in working in different elements of IP is that you have a whole bunch of history to pull from. I love playing in the history of things and looking at things in a different facet with a different eye and sort of seeing things, because humanity is amazing and wonderful and multifaceted. There are so many stories within one context. And I think that we will never run out of those stories because there are so many facets to it. And I think with Tim, that was the fun of it, was sort of discovering and exploring a facet that we've not really been able to explore in comics in general. And that has been a true joy. And being able to tell the story as organically with Tim as possible. I have said it before and I'll say it again. I have tried to let Tim tell the story. So like remove myself as much as possible so that Tim can exist and fill up the space and have a voice. And, you know, he hasn't had his own book for a while, and that now we give him the space to have a voice. We give him the space to express himself and be a character and in a way that we haven't seen from him in a while.
You talk about wanting to look at different pieces of DC history with a new eye, and you've definitely been doing that in Dark Crisis Young Justice. So this is like, and it's a lot of fun, and it's really, really
Thank
great,
you.
And it's definitely appropriate, but this is going to be like the dopiest, nerdiest continuity question I'm going to ask all day. So what I said before about like with Tim, again, not a retcon, it's just kind of like a natural evolution into discovery. With Dark Crisis Young Justice, are we actually retconning like those kind of weird attitudes and things that, you know, because the characters seem to be like, were we ever really like this? Like, what were we thinking?
It's less of a retcon and more of an identity crisis, I think. Like, it's more of looking back on, and I have done this with my own self, is looking back on different things that I've said in the past going, did I say that?
Yeah.
And that's part of life, that is part of being a human, it's part of growing. And that's something that I have loved so much about Young Justice, is to see it over the course of time grow. But there were certain things growing up, like within comics, that veered me off of them because of certain elements to it that I was like, oh, I don't feel comfortable being here. And I don't really like that I don't feel comfortable being here. And now I want to call that out and be like, no, I didn't feel comfortable, and that's a shame. Not necessarily with this. I enjoyed Young Justice. I've always enjoyed Young Justice. But there's so much about comics and the history of comics, to your point, that it's not just within the history of the characters. It's within the history of the zeitgeist. Like, I have loved comics. I've loved comics since I was a kid. And recognizing that sometimes there were spaces that I wasn't allowed to really be in. And that's a shame. I'm a big, strong believer in putting a voice to things and saying, you know, let's not live in the dark places on that. Let's bring that into the light and like, let's say it and say, oh, you know what? I said that. My bad. I don't want to say that again. Let's grow from that. And that's something that has been really great with Young Justice, being able to do that with these characters and grow with those characters as well, going, oh, I think maybe I thought certain things when I was that age, and that is not how I want to represent myself anymore. And that's important. I think it's really important to give spaces to that.
It's very interesting because, like, obviously, I mean, because of who I am and, you know, the era that I was coming up reading comics, you know, I didn't have that.
Sure.
And it's things that I only came to and realized later on. I mean, like, I've always been a big Connor Kent fan.
Yeah.
But, like, all of Connor's early stories, like for years, for as much like fun stuff as there is, like every other line of dialogue now I go,
ooh,
yeah,
ooh,
like, ooh. Yeah. And it's so weird that like the super character was like that and the bat character of that era, Tim, was the goody two shoes.
Yeah, I know. I know. But it's something sort of like looking at that time period and going, no, I we're still allowed to enjoy it. Like we truly are. Absolutely.
But
being able to acknowledge certain elements of those things. I think that living in the gray areas and the gray spaces, I think, is really important and sometimes difficult to do because we're dealing with good and evil. We're dealing with light and dark. And sometimes having a gray area story is also important. Being like, no, that was a rough time and there are certain elements about that. And like we deal with this as well in the comic books that like they're going back to a time that's not correct. Like it's an amplified version. It's not their actual past specifically. It's Mickey
very diplomatic.
Mixoplectic.
Yeah, yes. Let's not be Mickey Mixes Piddlix about this, folks. Let's not be Mickey's. I'm going to start using that.
Absolutely.
Like, when the usual suspects are complaining about the usual things, I'm going to be like,
Don't be a Mickey about
it's
this.
It's the Mickey's. The Mickey's are at it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's it for another episode of DC Stand'em. Keep it right here for more exclusive interviews and special surprises from the world of DC TV, movies, and comics. Make sure you're subscribing to us wherever you're listening right now. Don't forget to check out our web home at denigeek.com where you can find all our DC coverage. You can go straight to denigeek.com/DC. Drop me a line on Twitter. I'm at Way Out Stuff, but with the way things are going, who knows how much longer that site's even going to exist, let alone how long I'm going to be on there. But what the cool kids are doing is you should be following DC Stand'em on Twitter and Instagram. That's at DC Stand'em, all one word. Give those a follow because we'll have some surprises there for you. And that's the best place to tell us what you want to hear about in upcoming episodes. You know, if you want more interviews, if you want some deep dives on movies like, you know, DC movies that never got made, you want more newsy stuff, you want more panel discussions, let us know at DC Stand'em on Twitter and Instagram. And hey, don't forget, we also have a Marvel show. You can also listen to Marvel Stand'em wherever you're listening to this show right now. Make sure you check it out. And sometimes we do our Stand'ems live. So make sure you're following Den of Geek on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/DenofGeekTV. This has been DC Stand'em on the Den of Geek Network. Until next time, I'm Mike Cicchini. And remember, folks, we stand together.